ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशामेश पुराणार्को धुनोदितः। This is Srimad Bhagavatam, the Spotless Purana. We are discussing Canto 10, Chapter 13, Text Number 50. I hope that's what it is. Yeah. Chandrika? Yeah, okay, good. Chandrika Vishadasmeraihi Sarunapanga Vikshitaihi Sakarthanami Varaja Sattvabhyam Srashtrapalakaha. By pure smiling, like the full increasing moonlight, Sa Aruna Apanga Vikshitehi. By the clear glances of their reddish eyes, Swaka Arthanam, of the desires of his own devotees, Iva, just as, Rajaha, Sattvabhyam, by the modes of passion and goodness, Srashtrapalakaha, were creators and protectors. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, founder and acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, savior of the modern world, our Lord and Master, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Those Vishnu forms, by their pure smiling, which resembled the increasing light of the moon, and by the sidelong glances of their reddish eyes, created and protected the desires of their own devotees, as if by the modes of passion and goodness. Please repeat. Those Vishnu forms, by their pure smiling, which resembled the increasing light of the moon, and by the sidelong glances of their reddish eyes, created and protected the desires of their own devotees, as if by the modes of passion and goodness. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Very beautiful purport. Let's listen carefully. This is also, you have to consider, a matter of, 14 verses remaining. in this chapter. This is days only from the time that Srila Prabhupada departed this world. It's just a matter of days, and he's speaking with such amazing insights. He says, "Those Vishnu forms blessed the devotees with their clear glances and smiles, which resembled the increasingly full light of the moon. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. As maintainers, they glanced upon their devotees, embracing them and protecting them by smiling. Their smiles resembled the mode of goodness, protecting all the desires of the devotees, and the glancing of their eyes resembled the mode of passion." Actually, in this verse, the word rajaha means not passion, but affection. In the material world, rajoguna is passion, but in the spiritual world, it is affection. In the material world, affection is contaminated by rajoguna and tamoguna, but in the Shuddha Sattva, the affection that maintains the devotees is transcendental. The word swakarthanam refers to great desires. As mentioned in this verse, the glance of Lord Vishnu creates the desires of the devotees. A pure devotee, however, has no desires. Therefore, Sanatan Goswami comments that because the desires of the devotees whose attention is fixed on Krishna have already been fulfilled, the Lord's sidelong glances create variegated desires in relation to Krishna and devotional service. In the material world, desire is a product of rajoguna and tamoguna. But desire in the spiritual world gives rise to a variety of everlasting transcendental service. Thus the word sukarthanam refers to eagerness to serve Krishna. In Vrindavan, there is a place where there was no temple, but a devotee desired, "Let there be a temple and seva, devotional service." Therefore, what was once an empty corner has now become a place of pilgrimage. Such are the desires of a devotee. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om ajnana timirantasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun minitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadam Hahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam savadhutam Parijana sahitam Krishna Chaitanya devam Shri Radha Krishna padam Sahagana lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam scha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvishe Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Madhavira Bigopala Svikuryat Krivayayadi Tadeva Sampayaha Pitva Hrishyeyustat Priyajanaham. This verse is deceptively deep. It looks very simple. Maybe we could easily pass over. It's very great depth. It's very subtle and poetic. There's a lot of poetry going on in this verse. We'll try to explain a little bit about that. What's poetry? What do we mean by poetic? The 7th century famous poet Bhamaha, in his Kavya Alankar, he said, Shabdarthau Sahitau Kavyaha. The definition of Kavya, or poetry, is the union of sound and sense. The union of sound and sense. When the sound is beautiful and appealing, and the meaning is also deep and appealing, and they go together nicely, that is poetry. Shabdarthau Sahitau Kavyaha. Now, there are many different theories about literary theory, really, is what it is, about poetry. We don't need to get into too much detail. But our Goswamis, being highly educated, knew all about this sort of thing. You have only to read, well, let's just first of all note, in his Krama Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami mentions this verse. And he says, Aruna Vishadasthani Abhyam Rajasattva Abhyam Iveti Utpreksha. Utpreksha. He says, the redness and the purity are imagined here to be sattva, passion and goodness, respectively. That's called Utpreksha. Utpreksha means it's a kind of simile, but it's imaginative, it's an assumption. There are different kinds of literary ornaments. There's Shabdalankar, which plays with the sound of the words. Just like if you have rhyme, for example, rhyme. We all recognize rhyme is very appealing to the ear. And what's another one? Alliteration. What is alliteration? It means you have the same sound so many times in one line. Not necessarily rhyming, but similar sound, consonants. For example, Jayadev Goswami says, Lalita Lavangala Taparishilana Komala Malaya Samire. Or better yet, the Braj poet Surdas, he wrote, Charu Kapola Lola Lochana Gorochana Tilakadiye. This is called Anupras. It's a kind of alliteration. You repeat the same sound again and again. People take notice. That is, poetry should fascinate one. This is the idea. What is the use of poetry if it doesn't cause the heart to spin? Cause the head to spin. And the meaning should attract the heart. That's called arthalankar. So not only the sound is very nice, but the meaning has to be as appealing as the sound is. Then it's poetry. So arthalankar means things like, well, this is one of them, utpreksha, an assumption, something that's not really possible, but you compare the two things on the basis of a shared quality. For example, passion is associated with which color? Passion. Red. And goodness is associated with which color? Okay, now the Lord's eyes are tinged with reddish, like petals of a lotus, it's often compared. And the Lord's smile is as white as the moon. So that comparison is made here. And therefore, the glances, they seem to be passionate. This is a further poetic device, dhwani. Just suggesting something, not even saying it. but just suggesting passion. Which rasa involves sidelong glances? Dasya rasa, right? No. Sakya rasa? I don't think so. And not Vatsalya either. Madhuri rasa. This is just suggested here only by the sidelong glances, which are passionate. Passion is always madhurya rasa, almost always. So when we take, we're talking about arthalankar, ornaments of meaning. So utpreksha is one of them, this simile here. Another is you personify something. Something is just an innate object, but you give it a personality. That's called manaviyakaran, another kind of... Okay, so poetry is made of these things. Fancy speech, artificially devised speech, but in an attractive way, in a fascinating, appealing way that carries rasa. This is the point. It should communicate rasa. That's very important to us because we're supposed to spread Krishna consciousness. And we're supposed to start by spreading it to ourselves. And how do we make this appealing? Well, it's already appealing. We just have to keep hearing it. And then gradually we notice, hey, there's some really beautiful poetry in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is a fact. Very, very wonderful. This Bhagavatam is like nothing else. Like no other, can't even compare it to other Puranas, frankly speaking. If you've read the Puranas, you know this already. Very wonderful thing. So this is one of them. Here we have an arthalankara, or more specifically an utpreksha, Jiva Goswami says. Sridhar Swami, in his commentary on this verse, he says, by smiles as pure as the moon and by sidelong glances that have this reddish quality, Shri Shri Gaurnitai, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Shri Lalita Vishakha Sahitaradha Shyama Sundar Kijay. They appeared like the passionate creators and the sattvic maintainers of their own devotees' desires. So Krishna himself creates the desires of the devotee. And he does this in a passionate way. Why? Here's another comparison, implicit comparison. What does passion do? Passion creates things. Like Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is considered to be which gunavatar? Rajogunavatar. Because he creates things. And to destroy things is in which mode? Hello? Yes. Like monkeys. You see monkey, they can only destroy things. You cannot do anything constructive. Because tamoguna. But to maintain something, to sustain something, that requires goodness. So he creates a desire in a devotee and he sustains that devotee's commitment to fulfilling that desire. The same person, by his glances and by his smiling, he enlivens the devotee and he encourages devotees. Maybe it's another way to put it. Why? Because, well, we'll read in a moment. So just as in Sattvaguna, the pure smiles were maintaining, and as in Rajaguna, the sidelong glances have this reddish quality, they were beautiful in this way. Sanatana Goswami has written very nicely about this, and Prabhupada is therefore paraphrasing him in his own purport. Sanatana Goswami says, a devotee may sometimes feel that... Not sometimes, actually all the time we have to, humility means to be aware of one's own shortcomings and we have to introspect and understand where we are lacking because all of us are lacking in some way. That's a fact, objective fact. We're not shedding tears like torrents of rain as soon as we utter the name of Gauranga. That means we have problems. So it's just a question of identifying what the problem is, and then we focus our attention on working there. So, humility means a devotee may consider, he says, nijayogyatvadi vicharena kshiyamananam api. A devotee may become, I want to say, there's a word for this, a devotee may languish through doubting his own qualifications for coming to any high level of Krishna consciousness. We all do this, it's natural. And to some degree it's instilled by the principle that we should be more humble than a blade of grass, etc. But that's a problem if it discourages us from endeavoring. So these two have to go together. The passion is that we are attracted by Krishna consciousness. We are inspired within Krishna consciousness. We want to do something. Doing something is always passionate. Change is always passionate. Action is always passionate. In a sense. Not, of course, in Krishna consciousness. That's something Srila Prabhupada has explained in his purport. But this desire should be created by coming in contact with Srimad Bhagavatam, by coming in contact with the Hare Krishna Sankirtana, and by following the process in general. Some desire should be created, and then that desire has to be maintained. And that's the hard part. We find that in Krishna consciousness it's called bhakti abhas, or shadow bhakti, chaya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses this. Immature Krishna consciousness, we're very enlivened when we follow everything very, very strictly, but can you maintain that for 40 or 50 years, my friend? Mostly not. I've seen it. Every single person who was initiated with me way back in the 1970s is no longer here. Every last one of them is gone. Either they died or they left somehow. So this is a fact. This is how it works, and Krishna gives those statistics in Bhagavad Gita, we know. So how then to sustain our commitment to Krishna consciousness? That the Lord does by his smiling. All you require from Srila Prabhupada is a beautiful smile. Srila Prabhupada actually writes about this in one purport. He said there's nothing can compare to the smile of a pure devotee. A devotee who saw Srila Prabhupada only once, but received a smile from Srila Prabhupada, he'll remember that for the rest of his life. Is it not? Yes. And Krishna also. Sometimes when we look at the deities, we see that Krishna is smiling at me. We feel it. How do you convince a non-devotee of this? You cannot. You have to open the jar and taste it yourself. That is the nature of this process. So Sanatana Goswami says, they were creators and maintainers. Only by these glances were they the creators of the realization of their exclusively surrendered devotees' desires. Devotees who are serious and who aim high and want to really go back to Godhead. Svabhaktanam sarvabhishta siddhes tatra katakshehi shrashtava iti. So, and similarly, the smiles, they were the maintainers by dint of protecting the devotees from languishing through self-doubt, etc. All right, so passion or goodness are mentioned because of their similarity with redness and with purity, respectively. Here the word vishada, not vishada, that's a different thing altogether. This is vishada. Vishada means purity. In some places it's translated and pure, rather it's an adjective, and sometimes it's translated as clear. Prabhupada mentions both words in this passage. So, Jiva Goswami has also given extensive comments here on this point. He says, Swaka, Swakarthanam, Swakartha. All the acharya, every last one of them, every last acharya who's commenting on this verse says the same thing about this word, Swakarthanam. What does it mean? It means the devotees. Particularly, Jiva Goswami says, Svaka shabdoktanam ekanti bhaktanam tadrishabhishta siddhe. Means the exclusive devotees, those who are surrendered only to Krishna. These persons Krishna considers his own, swakha. Have we heard this word swakha last month? Did we hear it? We sang it every day. Tatha prema bhaktim swakam ne prayacha. Give me your own devotional service. Swakam means nija. Your own thing, apane. So, they're called swaka because they belong to Krishna, the devotees. He considers, these are my swaghosham, my people. And he maintains them by his smiling, which is therefore sattvic and pure. All sattvic things. See the qualities. This is called dharma, dharma utpreksha. A comparison, impossible comparison, made on the basis of a particular characteristic or quality. Okay, so, and then, what else does he say? Tatras tasyaruna gunasya swaka chitta madagatvat. Tenaiva tad vishaiva vichitrakamanam utpadanat smita yukta katakshayihi palaka. The glances which were passionate, they're also the smiling and the glances, both of them, they have created so many variegated desires that focus on Krishna. Tad vishayaka. They're centered on Krishna. Vichitrakamanam, all wonderful things that we can desire in Krishna consciousness. So many things you can do, and Srila Prabhupada encouraged that. Sometimes, if you want to do something, I don't know if I should mention this, but you get discouragement, even from your authorities. I will say, I have a godbrother, he's still here, and he was doing wonderful service. What wonderful service? Distributing prasadam. And unfortunately, his GBC, who has now left ISKCON and also left this world, he nixed that program. So Prabhupada asked him, what are you doing nowadays? Because Prabhupada knew previously he was very successful in distributing prasadam. He said, well, yeah, I'm doing some business. And Prabhupada said, why business? Well, I was doing this prasadam distribution, but my GBC said, don't do it, so I didn't want to cause any problems. And Prabhupada waved it off. He said, this is here in Vrindavan, he said this. Prabhupada said, preaching is above the GBC. I hope it's not being recorded. But the point is that Prabhupada encouraged individual initiative. Why? Because, as he elsewhere says, what is that? Proprietorship turns sand into gold. Srila Prabhupada was trained in economics. So if you feel some personal, you know, maybe I should say possession or at least proprietorship over a particular project or program or idea for serving Krishna, why not? Prabhupada, he put an incredible amount of trust in the most incredibly unqualified persons. It is a fact. And, you know, half the time or more than half the time they failed him, but he didn't stop doing that because he saw the importance that this is personal and individual initiative is there. And this inspiration comes from the passionate glances of Krishna. Again, I will say, this is allusion to the Madhurya Rasa, the Ras Lila in particular. We'll try to get to that in a moment if time permits. So, their eyes were red, all these Vishnu forms, their eyes were red because they were intoxicated by the hearts of the devotees, since they desired to serve the devotees. That's one way you can take it. Another way to take it is swakachitta madakatvat. Because they intoxicate the devotees, therefore they have created and increased so many desires among those devotees. Either way you want to put it. Swakam can refer to Vishnu himself or it can refer to the devotees. Okay, so. And they were protectors. You hear the word is used, palakanam, protectors. But it actually more means something like maintainers, because a protector does that. What is the use of being protected if he can't maintain you, right? So this is a sattvic function. It's Krishna's prerogative to maintain his devotees. That is the definition of God that we find in the Shruti Mantra. Anybody know which Shruti Mantra I'm thinking of? Eko. Bas. Ego bahunam yovidhati kaman. He's the one who takes care of all of us. Although he's a jiva, he's a living entity just like us, but he's not jiva, he's Ishvara. Okay. So Iva indicates a comparison. Rajas and Sattvam are compared to red and white components of the glands and the creative and protective aspects of what they do. Jiva Goswami also quotes this verse in his Bhagavad Sandarbha. And there I'll just mention in passing that we should not mistake that the Lord has any connection with the modes and material natures. Srila Prabhupada has also very carefully reminded us. Raja here doesn't mean Rajoguna necessarily, although the similarity is there, obviously. He is the Supreme Lord, the all-seeing, eternal witness, who is transcendental to material nature. That's the point. And again, he quotes this verse. So, varnam, color, these are the qualities that are shared. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has also commented on this verse. He says, their pure smiles resemble the moon, and the sidelong glance of their reddish eyes appeared like the creators and maintainers of the desires of their devotees, who are worthy of kindness. Anukampaniya bhaktas. Devotees who deserve some mercy. That's something to think about. And the rest is the same, as we've heard from others already. So, these are some of the comments of the predecessor acharyas on this verse. Let's take a closer look at Srila Prabhupada's purport now, with all this information in mind. Srila Prabhupada says, those Vishnu forms bless the devotees with their clear, end quote, glances. Anybody bookmark the word clear? Did I mention the word clear already? That is one translation of Vishada, clear. Clear glances and smiles, which resemble an increasingly fuller waxing moon. The moon is growing. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada sees fit to quote from Shikshashtaka here, first verse, Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. This Krishna, this chanting the holy name in particular, it is the process that increases the auspiciousness in a devotee's life. Just like the moon waxes. If you are chanting, if you're connected with this process of Harinama Sankirtana, Harinama Iva Kevalam, then you're going to wax very beautifully, like the moon, and become as white and as pure and clear as the moon. So, in the one commentary on the Shikshashtakam, it has been said, the word Shreya simply means auspiciousness, and Kaitava means the white lotus. Actually, it's a lily, not exactly a lotus, a water lily, Kumud, which has its Chandrika, or moonlight, Jyotsna. One thing is that the lilies, they blossom, these kumuda, the Kairava flowers, they blossom not in the daytime. Most lotus flowers will blossom because of the sun. What is that, Rupa Goswami says? Aravinda Bandhu. Aravinda Bandhu means the sun, friend of the lotus. And the friend of the kumud, or the Kairava flower, is the moon instead. It's transcendental to the ordinary lotus flower that we know. So that's another comparison here that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself has made. It blossoms in the moonlight. So even in the darkness of this material world, a devotee can blossom when he's associated with this Harinam Sankirtana. Now, another way to take it is that the because it's white color, this kumud has its own effulgence, its own Jyotsna. And the moon is what nourishes that. We know in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, or if you've studied Ayurveda, you also know, that it is the moon that actually gives all ojas. What is that? Pushnami, Oshadhi Sarva. Yes. Chapter 15, he says. Anyway, so, thus it is beginning of Shreya, the ultimate auspiciousness. From the Upanishads, we know two things are there, Shreyas and Preyas. Preyas means what I want to do right now, what feels good. And Shreya means what is going to ultimately be of excellence, or what is preeminently valuable, for, not only for me, but for others as well, because we shouldn't only think of ourselves. So Shreya, that is Shreyas. And this Sankirtan is like the moon, in that it nourishes this blooming of the white lotus of good fortune, Shreya. Then we become sattvic, as we've been discussing. This white lotus, the color white, the function, everything is sattvic here. So, lotus mouth, therefore the smile is maintaining us, just like sattvagun. When we're in sattvagun, we can think clearly. We have auspicious thoughts. Our desires are very noble, and we can control our senses, our intelligence is ready at hand. Everything is auspicious. And that is affected by this Sankirtan process. Vidya means knowledge, means spiritual knowledge, since that alone pleases everyone when you apply it. You cannot please everyone in this material world. One man's floor is another person's ceiling, they say in English. So, but one thing that can please everyone is spiritual knowledge, because that's one thing we all have in common. It is our parodharma, our shared characteristic. And vidya, brahma vidya, saiva sarva priya charana shilatva. That is the idea. And the word vadhu means like a wife. Vidya vadhu jivanam. You ever wonder, why does it say that? Vadhu means wife, correct? Why does he say that? Anybody know this? Why is it? Huh? Yes. Wife is, she has no meaning, no existence without husband. Vidya vadhu jivanam. So for a devotee, this transcendental knowledge that is coming from the chanting of the holy name, it is the life. It is our life. It sustains us. We're back to that word again, maintaining, palaka. So, wife means not independent. Her life means her livelihood, that means her husband. Without the holy name, she simply doesn't flourish, for she's under the control of the holy name in exactly the same way. The holy name is comparable to the husband. Etena patyupamam. Okay, so this is what's going on. Srila Prabhupada, let's continue his purport. He says, as maintainers, they glanced upon their devotees, embracing them. Embracing. Here's another 20. What is this? Embracing. In which rasa do we embrace? Well, yeah, you can have in all the rasas. But in particular, Ras Lila, Madhuri Lila, very conjugal love, it is more intense. So Prabhupada uses this word. The glances of the lords, the plural lords here, looking upon the devotees, embracing them, and protecting them. This is the sattvic function we've already mentioned. Embracing is passionate, maintenance is sattvic. By smiling. Their smiles resemble the mode of goodness, etc., etc. Protecting all the desires of the devotees and the glancing of their eyes resembled the mode of passion. Actually, in this verse, the word raja means not passion, but affection. In the material world, rajoguna is passion, but in the spiritual world, it is affection. In the material world, affection is contaminated by rajoguna, what is the primary characteristic of rajoguna? Passion, sex desire. That ruins everything. Affection is ruined by this. It's like we all have this ball and chain, isn't it? In the old days, they used to contain prisoners. They can put them anywhere, but they just lock a big iron ball to their foot so they can't go anywhere. We're like this. And it is, the shackle is Maitoniyagara, the shackles of sex desire. It keeps us in this material world. So affection here is contaminated by Rajoguna, and Tamoguna is even worse. In First Canto, Chapter 1, Text Number 3, Srila Prabhupada's wonderful purport on that very important verse, he mentions very quickly, sometimes love affairs between two persons culminate in ghastly murder scenes. End quote. So this is Tamoguna. Thought I would mention that. But in the Shuddha Sattva, the affection that maintains, there's the word again, the devotees, is transcendental. So to protect means to sustain. We know that only sattva can do this, and this is purely transcendental. The word swakarthanam refers to the great desires. I mean to say noble desires is another way to put it. It means devotees, but what is a devotee without his desire? It's interactive. It's personal. Everything is there. So swabhakta manodathanam, several acharyas commenting on this, they use this to gloss. Swabhakta manodathanam, the wishes of the devotees, they're created by the Lord, they're fulfilled by the Lord. Before we came to Krishna consciousness, did any of us want to popularize Srimad Bhagavatam in the society? Probably not so many. But now we have that desire. And to whom do we pray to fulfill that desire? Krishna. So he creates the desires and he fulfills or sustains the desire. Now, this is the first day of our transcendental Srila Prabhupada marathon. I don't know what you call it nowadays. Its names change. But every year we do this marathon for book distribution. This is something to consider. This desire has been instilled in us by the glance of the Lord, and by his smiling it will be sustained. If the Lord smiles upon us, we will be successful. Let us all pray for that. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. So Prabhupada next mentions Sanatan Goswami. A pure devotee has no desires. No desires or no material desires? No desires. Because they're not his. A pure devotee doesn't have desires. He only has Krishna's desires. In that sense, you can say he has spiritual desires, of course, we say this. But the fact of the matter is that we are empty, or at least we should be empty. The mercy of the spiritual master should be all that we are made of. The desires of the Lord should be the only ones that are being harbored in our hearts. That is the goal. So, therefore you can say pure devotees have no desires. That's why Prabhupada said it. Sanatan Goswami comments that because the desires of the devotees whose attention is fixed on Krishna have already been fulfilled, we're already satisfied if we can see Krishna every day. How fortunate are we to be sitting here in Vrindavan Dham and to be able to see Krishna and Balaram, and to be able to chant their holy names, and to serve the cows, and to circumambulate the tamal tree, and all the things that we do here. How fortunate we are. All of our desires have already been fulfilled. It doesn't get any better than this. But the Lord's sidelong glances nonetheless create variegated desires in relation to Krishna and devotional service, as we've mentioned already. Book distribution is one of those. In the material world, desire is a product of Rajaguna and Tamoguna, but desire in the spiritual world gives rise to a variety of everlasting, transcendental service. Thus, the word Svakarthanam refers to eagerness to serve Krishna, he says here. In Vrajadham, all desires are fulfilled by the transcendental dust, which is Chintamani, and by the cows, which are Kamadhenus, and by the trees, which are Kalpavrikshas. They all fulfill your desires. Have you experienced this? Raise your hand if you've experienced a desire that has been fulfilled by these things. Yes, of course, we all. Now, therefore, it's significant. I'm going to focus on trees because this is the second purport in a row that Prabhupada mentions this thing. Remember, we heard it yesterday also. He's talking about this tree here. This is a very special tree, Tamal Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was very conscious and very... Without Srila Prabhupada, this tree might not have stayed here, actually. But Prabhupada was very adamant that this tree should be nourished and maintained. Who knows what kind of relationship they have. But this Kalpa Vriksha tree, Prabhupada says here, a devotee desired, let there be a temple and seva. What devotee is that? Obviously, it's Srila Prabhupada himself. And is the seva going on now, half a century later? Yes, it is. Therefore, Prabhupada says, everlasting devotional service. The smile of the Lord maintains that devotional service. See the beauty. Therefore, what was once an empty corner has now become a place of pilgrimage. And we're all sitting here as a test to that. Such are the desires of a pure devotee, and this place fulfills those desires, just like the glances of the Lord and the smiling of the Lord. Okay, I'm just going to stop now. It's time anyway. But I'm going to quote from the third canto, chapter 9, text 25 of Srimad Bhagavatam, a prayer that at least came to my mind when I read this verse. Those who are pujaris know that when we wake up the titi, we recite this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. So savada prakuruno bhagavan vivriddha prema smitena nayanam buruham vrijambhan uttaya vishva vijayaya chano vishadam madhya kirapanayatat purusha puranaha. What does it mean? The Lord, who is the supreme and the oldest of all, is unlimitedly merciful. I wish that he may smilingly bestow his benediction upon me by opening his lotus eyes. He can uplift the entire cosmic creation and remove our dejection by kindly speaking his directions. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, many, many things resonate between today's verse and this particular verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 3, 9, 25. We've already heard one, but the time is up, so there's no time to dilate on that. But I will mention that in his purport, Prabhupada says, the liberated souls can join in this blissful reciprocation of predominator and predominated without materially concocted ideas. The typical example of such a transcendental exchange between the predominator and the predominated is the Lord's Rasa Lila with the gopis. The gopis are predominated expansions of the Lord's internal potency, and therefore the Lord's participation in the Rasa Lila dance is never to be considered like the mundane relationship of man and woman. It is rather the highest perfectional stage of the exchange of feelings between the Lord and the living entities. The Lord gives the fallen souls the chance for this highest perfection of life. Lord Brahma is entrusted with the management of the complete cosmic show, and therefore he prays that the Lord bestow his blessings upon him so that he may execute his purpose. Let us all pray that the Lord smilingly bestows his glances upon us, as we've been discussing this morning, so that we can also execute our purpose, not exactly our purpose, Srila Prabhupada's purpose. Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, Param Vijayate. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any questions or any comments on any of these things? Yeah, the acharyas, as far as I can tell, are saying slightly different things. Up until Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they're pretty consistent that the glances will create a desire and the smiling will maintain that. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and also Srila Prabhupada to some degree seems to fuse that a little bit. I mean, you can't really separate the Lord's glances from his smiling, so it's fair, I guess, to do that. I don't know exactly how you want me to elaborate on it other than repeating what our predecessors have said. Okay, so you're talking about material desires. Yeah, nowhere does this verse or purport or any of the commentary say that the Lord is going to fulfill your material desires. That's not his business. That's between you and your karma. He's going to create transcendental desires when we agree to be predominated. This is the problem. We're not willing to be predominated. Is anybody ever encouraged in modern society to be predominated? That's equal to slavery in our minds. Exploitation, abuse, even. But to be predominated, it's actually the goal of Krishna consciousness. So if you want your independence, think again about what you really want. Are you sure about that? So, yeah, sometimes he will fulfill our desires. If we're nonsense, then the Lord will only fulfill our desires. Even up to the point of liberation, he will fulfill that desire. Muktim dadati karhichet smana bhakti yogam. But he saves the good stuff for his swakam, for his own people, the devotees. The good stuff meaning this beautiful, transcendental, eternal, variegated, vichitra, is the word has been used, wonderful exchange of divine love. That's only for the devotees who agree to be predominated. Unless and until that happens, most of the time Krishna will just leave you to do what you want to do, and your karma you have to work under Maya, and she'll beat the daylights out of you until you see some sense. But sometimes Krishna will also fulfill material desires, it's true, but not always. We can't really depend on that, and we shouldn't really aspire for that either. Is that okay? Shubh Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you for the wonderful class. Just a small clarification. I want that when we hear that Islam quoted that Eku Bahuna, Yudhati Baba. So, does it refer to I'm understanding it refers to all kinds of desires, all kinds of living entities?
Yes. Vastavme is karmaki paddhati hai. It's just an excuse. it's just the karma, the whole system is just a ruse so that Krishna can sidestep responsibility. You can't blame him. Actually, yeah, the desires, we have material desires, and of course Krishna he's fulfilling those, he is. And as Paramatma, in effect, you can say he becomes our order supplier. He gives us the intelligence, he gives us, you know, whatever our karma allows to do whatever we want. And if we're determined to avoid being predominated, then that's all we get. And you end up in the heavenly planets, and then when it's all done, you're back to square one again. This is clear from the Acharya's commentaries on chapter 7 of Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada even said, most of my disciples, they simply want to go to the heavenly planets. Our conception of pure devotional service is that mundane. You had a comment?
Sorry, Vinod is also called Hari. Yeah.
It takes away
everything.
Harishye tad tanam say?
Mrityu
sarva harasyam. Yeah, he takes everything away and he takes away your desires as well. Wait, but I didn't fulfill. No, sorry, time's up. You gotta go. That's death. You're being evicted, Baba. Out. No ifs, ands, or buts. This is the nature. Durga Devi, Mayadhyak Prashena Prakriti, she's only working under his direction. So directly or indirectly, that the blame is always going to come back to him. But this whole elaborate system has been created just so that he can sidestep the issue and say, no, 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 this is just, this is your karma. This is the way it works. Anyway, therefore he's Lamparta, according to Srimati Radharani and her friends. Is that okay? All right, we should stop now. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.